Alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever does not enter a sheepfold through the gate, but climbs over elsewhere, is a thief and a robber. But whoever enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens it for him, and the sheep hear his voice. As the shepherd calls his own sheep by name and leads them out, when he has driven out all his own, he walks ahead of them, and the sheep follow him, because they recognize his voice. They will not follow a stranger. They will run away from him, because they do not recognize the voice of strangers. Although Jesus used this figure of speech, the Pharisees did not realize what he was trying to tell them. So Jesus again said, Amen, amen, I say to you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate, and whoever enters through me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. A thief comes only to steal and slaughter and destroy. I came so that they might have life and have it more abundantly. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Take away our sin. Fourth Sunday of Easter each year is called Good Shepherd Sunday, because on this day the church focuses on the 10th chapter of the Gospel of St. John, in which Jesus reveals the relationship he has with each of his faithful followers. Jesus says about himself, I am the Good Shepherd. And we as faithful followers, with the words of today's psalm, reply, The Lord is my shepherd. I want, I lack for nothing. We mark this truth in the heart of the Easter season each year, because it is the heart of Easter joy. With the risen Lord Jesus as our shepherd, we truly have it all. It's key for us to believe and live by these famous words of the responsorial psalm. By them we confess as Catholics that our treasure is Jesus, that if we have him but don't have anything else in the world, we still recognize how rich we are. One of my favorite prayers is St. Ignatius of Loyola's famous Suscipe. Take, Lord, and receive all my liberty, my memory, my understanding, and my entire will. All I have and call my own, whatever I have or hold, you have given me. In return, I surrender it to you, wholly to be governed by your will. Give me your love and your grace, which are enough for me, and I ask for nothing more. This prayer teaches us something very important about being a good sheep of the Good Shepherd. We recognize that Jesus' love and grace are enough. In the midst of a consumerist society in which we're bombarded with advertisements that pretend we'll be happy only if we get what they're selling, that we'll be fulfilled only if we have money and houses, fame and fortune, power and position, we focus instead on the Good Shepherd's love and grace. We confess that what Jesus provides is far more fundamental to happiness in this world and essential to eternal felicity in the eternal sheepfold. Throughout the Good Shepherd discourse, Jesus gives us in John 10, a different third of which we ponder each year. Jesus reveals that he essentially does for us three things. For us to be a good sheep of the Good Shepherd, we need to allow him to shepherd us in these three ways. First, Jesus the Good Shepherd feeds his flock. He prepares a table for us as we pray in today's psalm. He feeds us in every way. He feeds us materially as he gives us our daily bread. He feeds our souls on his word. For not on bread alone does man live, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. He feeds us ultimately on his own body and blood in the Holy Eucharist, the food of everlasting life. Good sheep are not only grateful for this threefold nutrition, but starve for it. Second, Jesus, the Good Shepherd, guides his flock. Jesus leads us in right paths for his namesake. He leads us beside the refreshing waters of baptism. He guides us toward the verdant pastures of heaven. He says a sheep hear his voice and can distinguish it from the voice of strangers. He tells us he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. He goes ahead of them and they follow him. Jesus takes each of us personally to himself, but then he doesn't keep us there. He never says, stay exactly where you are, don't change. He always says, come and go. He leads us on a journey, a true adventure, with the goal of eternal life. I came so that they might have life and have it to the full, he tells us today at the end of the gospel. That pilgrimage of life is what our Christian life is about. Jesus doesn't merely tell us about this Zoe, this higher form of life. He doesn't just indicate to us where we need to go, but he leads us by example. To be his disciple means to follow where he leads. Jesus talks about this, St. Peter talks about this in the second reading today. Christ left you an example so that you should follow his footsteps. Our discipleship is following where he leads, to follow him where he wishes to meet us in prayer, to follow him across the road as good Samaritans, to follow him to the confessional where he forgives us, to follow him to our own workplace as he had his own in Nazareth, to follow him to the altar where he restores us. Good shepherd, good sheep try to follow where the good shepherd leads. Third, Jesus the Good Shepherd protects his flock. He tells us very clearly that there are thieves and marauders who are seeking to fleece, milk, kill, cook, and consume us. Against those who come only to steal and kill and destroy, Jesus sets himself as our protection, as the gate to the sheepfold, so that essentially, in order to get to us, they first need to go through him. Good luck there. To protect us, not only was he willing to die for us, but in fact did die for us. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for his sheep, he tells us later in the Good Shepherd Discourse. No one takes my life from me, I freely lay it down. This is why we can act on his words, be not afraid, because he himself will protect us from everything that can eternally harm us, provided that we stay in his fold. Thus we can say with trust and confidence as we prayed in today's psalm, even though I walk in the darkest valley, some of us occasionally must, I fear no evil, for he's at my side with his rod and his staff to strengthen me. Today, in the midst of the coronavirus pandemic, we thank him for that protection and renew that trust. As Christians, however, it's not enough for us merely to be good sheep or the good shepherd. By Jesus' shepherdly care, he wants to transform us to such a degree that we can become good shepherds and share in his feeding, guiding, and protecting of others. We see this transformation in the vocation of St. Peter. After the resurrection, when Jesus appeared to the disciples in the Sea of Galilee, Jesus asked Peter three times, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Jesus was querying whether Peter loved him more than anything and everything else, whether the love of the Good Shepherd was enough for him. Because the Lord wanted that love to be the distinctive mark of Peter's response and his life from that point forward. Three times Peter responded, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And after each reply, Jesus gave him a commission, a task that would be the bedrock of all he would do in Jesus' name. First commission was feed my lambs, telling him in particular to take care of Christ's young people. Second was tend my sheep, which the Greek means to guard and guide. The third was feed my sheep. Jesus the Good Shepherd was entrusting the care and nourishment of his flock, young and old, to Peter's loving solicitude. There would always remain Christ's sheep, feed my lambs, tend my sheep, Jesus said. but they would be guided by a sheep like themselves, whom Christ would choose, appoint, and help to be a shepherd after his own loving heart. And it's obvious that St. Peter never forgot this lesson, which he was putting into practice in today's first reading, preaching to the crowds and feeding Christ's lambs and sheep with the gospel. The same truth is depicted powerfully on the facade of the incredibly beautiful Basilica of St. Paul's outside the walls, where St. Paul is buried. There we see Christ in the center in two different images arranged vertically, an iconographic technique that means that they should be interpreted together. One is Jesus sitting on a throne with his right hand raised in blessing, and in the left hand an open book with words on it. Jennifer was one of my pilgrims. She knows what an open book with words on it means. It's the message Jesus wants us to grasp. And there, you see the message, I know my sheep and mine know me. And then right below that, you see the same Jesus depicted now as the Lamb of God on Mount Calvary, looking as if he has been slain. And from his open, pierced side were flowing four different rivers to gladden the people of God, to pour out that living water so that we might never thirst again. And toward those rivers were coming 12 sheep, depicting the 12 you see around you here in this chapel, the 12 apostles. They're depicted as sheep because before they could be shepherds, they first needed to be sheep. Before they could be apostles, they needed to be faithful disciples. Just as the Lord Jesus called them to be apostolic disciples, so he calls each of us by name. For the last 57 years, the church has celebrated on Good Shepherd Sunday, the world day of prayer for vocations, especially priestly vocations. So on this day that we unite ourselves to the Pope and to Catholics all over the world, praying to God the Harvest Master to send out laborers, apostolic shepherds, after the heart of his Son. Priests are the Good Shepherd's indispensable instruments to feed his flock with himself in the Holy Eucharist, but they also nourish us with his holy word and the teaching of the Church. Priests guide Jesus' flock one-on-one, the ministry of mercy and the confessional, spiritual direction and counseling, and guide the entire flock in their work as pastors, the Latin word for shepherd. They also seek to protect the flock of Christ from what Jesus in today's gospel denominates as thieves and marauders, those who would seek to harm them. This involves not merely a defense from the devil, his empty promises and evil works, but also against all those earthly gurus who try to lead people from Jesus in the narrow path that leads to life. Priesthood is so important because through it Jesus shepherds us with love. On this World Day of Prayer for Vocations, we thank Jesus for the way he has fed and tended us as a sheep and lambs throughout our life, by those who love Christ enough to leave a family of their own, money and possessions in their own will, in order to serve us in chastity, poverty of spirit, and obedience. We pray for the shepherds who have died, like Cardinal John O'Connor, whom the Good Shepherd summoned to follow him into eternity 20 years ago today. We pray for those who are in any type of difficulty due to COVID-19 or other causes. Pray that every priest who has received this vocation may respond to God's help to become truly holy shepherds after the Good Shepherd's example. And we pray that God may hear our prayers and raise up many such shepherds from among the boys and young men of our families, parishes, and dioceses. Jesus is the Good Shepherd who will never leave his flock untended. He continues still feeding, leading, and protecting us. He continues to nourish, guide, and defend us through the priests he makes pastors. After having listened to the Good Shepherd's voice speaking to us in the gospel, summoning us interiorly by name, we ask him to make us grateful for the table he has prepared for us, for the priesthood that uniquely makes this great banquet of life possible. We ask him to make us ever more attentive to his voice as he says, "This is my body. This is the chalice of my blood," giving his life for us and to us so that we might have life to the full and be strengthened by him to follow his voice and steps all the way to the verdant pastures of heaven. Praise be Jesus Christ. Amen.